From Wondery and Audible comes Class of 88, a new podcast hosted by Will Smith. Before 1988, a lot of people didn't take hip-hop seriously. But hip-hop today touches everything, from film to fashion to sports. So what changed? Follow Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yo Bros. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great today. Welcome back. Welcome to your show. Happy Monday, buddy.
Happy Monday to you, too. How are you doing?
Are you recovered
from this weekend?
No, it takes me a while. I mean, it takes me a while to recover from going to the grocery store, okay? It's going to take a while to recover from a whirlwind trip in Los Angeles. Went to Los Angeles for the weekend. We did the Jeff Lewis show. That was super fun. And then we went and did our show, The Crappies, the Golden Crappy Awards on Saturday night. What a great fucking time. Great time. Thank you to everybody who came out, who helped us. We had so many people working on stuff. We had so many guests come to the show. Sheena from Vanderpump Rules came. A lot of our podcaster friends.
Mm-hmm.
What a great party time.
It was tremendous. I really feel like it was the best Crappies we've held. It just felt like the energy was so good. I've been really riding a high. We were honestly, Ryan and I, were before we even started recording, we were just like yammering on, because we really haven't been able to touch base since Saturday night and do like a post-game report. And it just like, I'm just like, my heart is so full. I'm so thankful to everyone who showed up. I'm thankful to everyone who helped us. I'm thankful to everyone who, all our guests on the show, everyone who submitted videos. It just was such a fun show. And I'm also thankful to whoever invented sequins, because you know what? People really rocked the sequins and the glitter on Saturday night, and it was amazing. It was like everyone collectively knew what to wear. It was so great.
Yeah, really, really fun times. Thank you, everybody, for supporting us in that. You really gave us a good time. Everyone, if you still want to watch it, you can. It is available on Moment until, I mean, I guess for 2 weeks,
it's
right, Ben?
14 days. Available. Yeah, go check it out. It's really cool. It's really fun to watch. So
you can find the links at watchwhatcrappens.com as usual. And also, we're very excited to announce we're going to Europa. Okay.
That's right.
That's a place.
This is a big deal. This is like a really big deal. We, for the first time ever, are crossing the pond, as they would say. We are going to London, and we're also going to Birmingham. We are going to London on May 24th, and we are going to Birmingham on May 29th. So Friday, that's going to be London at Islington Assembly Hall, which my friend got his UK naturalization ceremony in, and also at the Glee Club in Birmingham on Wednesday, May 29th. Those tickets go on sale this Wednesday at 10 a.m., UK time. Is that Greenwich Meridian? Greenwich time? Whatever. Either way, we are so excited to finally do some UK shows at long last.
Yes, so go grab your tickets for that. We're also going to be part of the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival at our friend Katie Cazorla's new comedy club, the Kookaburra Lounge, which is in the Highland Center, and that is in May, too. You can find links for all that good stuff on our Instagram, our Linktree, and our watchwhatcrappens.com. Okay, so go there and check it out. We're excited to be a part of all this stuff. But today, let's go into the Traitors.
Traitors. Murder. Yes.
Murder.
This is a very, very scary episode for me because, you know, fucking Dan. Dan really put a stink on Phaedra, and it sucks because he didn't put a stink on Parvati, but he just sort of unnecessarily spread the stink around the entire Traitors team in the attempt to save himself, which he didn't even do. And I'm mad at him for it.
Yeah, it's a pretty selfish move, but it is a traitor's move. It is a traitorous move. There is no honor among traitors. So, yeah, it was a pretty shit thing he did. But, you know, slimy. That's how you do it. And Big Brother, you know, Big Brother's not the nicest game. He came from a very slimy, dirty, underhanded game. Shame on him for being a winner of that
game. He came out of retirement after 10 years to play this game.
This one is called Knives at Dawn. Last night's sacrifice. Seven were protected from murder. So we saw the fire ceremony where Allison, the producer of Big Brother, came in and magically saved people that she wanted to save, even though their ass was about to go home, namely Peter. Okay? So I'm still pissed off about it. Don't really like it. But that fucker's still here.
I'm really
talking
mad.
Talking with his teeth.
I'm also just mad because the round table is just inherently more interesting than a fire ceremony. I mean, it was fun to see the fire ceremony. It was interesting to see who everyone was going to choose. It was funny to watch Trishelle just like beg and cry for her life, you know. And of course, by the way, Trishelle, as we will see in 2 seconds, is totally fine, but it's totally like her to shed all these tears to save her because she's the most in danger when she's not in danger at all. So Alan says, who did Parvati and Phaedra choose to murder? Was it Bergie, Kate, MJ, or Trishella?
Well, CT and Sheree are the first to come in for breakfast. And he's like, yeah, I knew I was safe this morning. It's nice, but at the same time, I'm a little nervous. Because I was like, are you? Because you never change your emotions, which is kind of hot, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like... I would like to see what the manifestation of his nerves are, because if it involves tighter jeans, I would be all into it. I feel like we've gotten away a little bit from CT's haunches, but they really are a major supporting player on this show.
I think you're the first person I've ever heard call them haunches, and you do it a lot. Like, you really lean into that, calling them haunches. I feel like it's like a thing you say about horses.
It is. That I specifically use it with CT because it feels like his legs are not just like tree trunks or just like not, they're not just like thick with two C's. They're like, to me, they're like haunches. They are haunches.
Haunches. Yeah, it's got a big old honking couple of legs. Love those. But he's like, I'm feeling a lot of anxiety. Okay. So he's like, all right, so Sheree, if you could murder anybody right now, who out there, who do you think I murdered? Who do you think I murdered? Okay, you don't have to murder anybody. I'm just saying, if I had a gun to your head, which is kind of murderous.
You know, she was probably so confused. Why are we talking about murder? Because we're on a show where we murder people.
I want to kill anybody who doesn't have baseboards. You got baseboards?
She's like, I thought we were the I thought we're just like waiting for our car to be serviced. No, you're on a show right now, Sheree.
Right. She's like, I'm waiting for that guy who spins the sign. It's not a Jiffy Lube. Okay.
What about that puffy guy who with the tires? No, Michelin Man's not eligible to be murdered.
So he's like, we got to get a trade out. I like when they say obvious things. I hope we get a trade out today. So he's like, in this game, you can trust no... Oh, so Phaedra's like, in this game, you can trust no one. Some of these people, they're bloodhounds.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. We got to get a trader now, especially now that we're running out of time. Poverty, I mean, obviously. I mean, she's already been on everyone's radar everywhere. And Sandra's like, exactly, exactly. And then Sandra's like, you know, me and Poverty have history, and like, it's not great history. But if I get the vibe that she's a traitor, then I'm going to grab all the faithfuls and I'm going to show them billiard balls again and try to explain how that works.
I love that Phaedra's the one being like, oh, everyone here, they're bloodhounds. Phaedra, you're the murderer. What are you calling everybody else a traitor? You're literally a traitor. So Phaedra's like, yeah, that Peter's so divisive. I mean, if you're Sherlock Holmes, be a nice Sherlock Holmes. Don't be Sherlock the dick.
So John enters, and everyone loves John now. It's so funny because I feel like they were so suspicious of him in the beginning, and then just quietly they've just grown to like just love him and feel like he's super faithful. And so they're like, who do you think got murdered? And John's like, well, I fear Trishelle. I think she's bright. I think she's savvy. And she was very, very, very frightened last night.
Also, John, the first person to ever say those words. I think she's bright. I think she's savvy. Well, she already won something. She can put that on her LinkedIn. So Peter's like, yesterday, I kind of saw the writing on the wall, and it said, honey, come home. Mommy misses you. And I was like, Mom, stop writing on my walls. But then I saw other writing, and thank God John saved me. Now it's bittersweet, because I know I'm safe. But two people that I have complete trust in are not safe. I'm just a good little boy.
I fly planes. So now CT thinks it's Bergy. And then Sandra's like, she's like, well, Kate, you know, Kate, maybe it's Kate, you know, or MJ. I feel like they're saying Trishelle and Bergy a lot to the point where I feel like it's misdirection. And so I became actually very nervous that MJ was going to be murdered. Because they weren't.
Yeah, because I feel like MJ kind of came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And so Kevin's saying, the person I really want to see walk through that door is Poverty. But who is it? Who is it? It is Kate and MJ. Kate's like, what's up?
Hi, stupids. I'm back.
Hi, dummies.
I actually like wish you had murdered me. Oh, well. Do you have a scone?
I guess it's another day I'm not dead yet. That's great.
Yeah, Kevin was hoping that Parvati was going to come through, so that way his suspicion that she's a traitor is confirmed, which, I mean, he's right. She is a traitor, but it actually would not confirm anything that if she came back. It just says that she's alive.
Well, it's Kevin logic.
I know. He drives me nuts.
So, okay, it's like, well, I thought I was going to get murdered, but I guess they want to keep me because they trust me. They should not trust me. I would throw any one of them in the moat for $5. I literally do not care. I would do it for a sweater.
So now Peter's like, oh my God, it's Trishelle or Bergy. Oh no. And unfortunately, there's no way that Poverty's not coming to breakfast. And Phaedra's saying it's getting harder and harder to protect. She likes Poverty, but she can't protect her very much more. So of course, Poverty enters and everyone's like, boo, you know, and then Phaedra has to pretend to be upset that basically Bergy is dead.
Yeah, and so Parvati's so mad that she's squinting. Hello, it's okay. That's a squinter, man. Like, does that girl have trouble reading? Is she reading? What is her? It's like, the lights. She's like, I really wanted to kill Peter tonight. I'm so annoyed that we can't do that. Bergy's the next best thing, in my opinion. It's going to take out some of Peter's support, so we just had to do it. I wore my hanging headband. Hung that fucker.
It's a sad headband. It was crying. Tears coming down the headband. So now Bergy gets his murder notice. And he's like, yeah, I think I really played the best game I could ever play. I mean, coming in, I was really nervous because no one even knows who I am. I don't even know who I am. Why am I even here? Why am I on this game show? I don't know. But it was fun. Bye, everyone.
I got to show I'm someone who can't be manipulated. You were manipulated by Peter. You literally did what Peter told you to the entire time. But
and
bye.
Then you got killed because of it, too, yeah. By the way.
So, bye. Learned nothing. Okay, so then John's like, let's raise our cup to our dear departed friend, the Queen Mother.
This is a sad and solemn moment, mainly because I just verbalized that Trishella's smart, and I can't ever take that back. It's on the record now. We must pay our respects to my former intelligence.
And then Phaedra starts betraying herself again by complimenting food and drink. I mean, she really does it every single time. So he's like, someone has died. And Phaedra's like, this coffee is delicious.
I know. So Trishelle's beret gives her a nasty look. And Peter's like, well, it's not going to help us losing him. And Kevin's like, we lose voting power. We lose mission. We're going to lose a mission now. And Peter's like, we're going to be so far behind. And Parvati's like, holy moly. She does a really bad job of also seeming concerned.
Yeah. And Peter's mad and everyone's getting themselves all worked up. And then Phaedra goes, I'd like some cream cheese and preserves. And then Trishelle's like, it's her. I know it. And finally, someone has noticed, you know, the woman's tell is her food. I've never seen that before. I've seen a lot of tells. You know, I love playing poker. I've never seen somebody just start obsessing over food as their tell.
Well, Trishelle, you know what rhymes with tell? Trishelle. So she says, you know, a lot of these guys are looking for the safest bet, which would be poverty, I guess. However, I've always felt like Phaedra is a traitor ever since 2 days ago, and no one's suspecting it. Phaedra doesn't really talk a lot of game. She doesn't throw out people's names, and I'm a poker player and a beret icon, and she has, like, a little twitch in one of her eyes, and that's kind of a tell at a poker table. I just need to convince the other guys. I'm like, yes, Phaedra does have a twitch, but like you said, I think the bigger tell is the food tell. I love that Trishelle is so proud of herself when there's a much larger, more powerful tell just sitting right in front of her.
Well, also, Phaedra's twitch has nothing to do with lying. She's wearing 90 pounds of hair on five parts of her body, okay? First of all, her eyelashes come out as far as a baby arm, okay? They're like store awnings. They're gigantic. And then she puts her bangs right over, like they fall into the eyelashes. So it's like a little car wash there. She's got hair.
Those are load-bearing bangs. Or eyelashes.
She's got like hair hanging down in between the lashes. So she's, and then they blink up and down. So it's like having five different areas of hair coming at her eyes. Of course her eyes are going to twitch. Leave the woman alone. Don't come after a woman for her eyelashes and her hair.
Trishelle, Phaedra is literally talking to you. I feel like anyone who talks to Trishelle is going to develop a twitch.
Anyone who talks to Trishelle is going to recoil with an eye twitch.
I know. Between Trishelle and Kevin, like, you've got a twitch now. Yeah. Like, that, the Twitch streaming service was based off of those two. They're like, you know what? I just talked to Trishelle and I got this great idea. Let's start a streaming service for video games. We'll just call it Twitch.
So Alan comes in and he's like, good morning, my ever decreasing circle of friends. Let's let bygones be bygones. Bye. Gone.
Just like breaks a picture of Bergie on the ground.
Loser.
Was Alan coming in the movie Circle of Friends? He was. That, I just realized this right now. That line was a referential line. My ever decreasing circle of friends. Look at that, Alan Cumming. Clever. Clever reference to a movie he was in 30 years ago. Okay, so
I was gonna say, was that a big classic that people remember?
No, it was not. It was not. It was just that, like, the other night, some of us were talking about Alan Cumming. We're just, you know, we were like waxing philosophically. We were pretending we were like on PBS talking about this show, and we're talking about Alan Cumming, how this is really his, like, most, it feels like this is his oh my God, I am losing my mind. This is his most impactful pop cultural role. And we're talking about, yeah, he was in this movie and he was in that movie. And someone said, yeah, and he was in Circle of Friends. So that was very top of mind right now. And I was like, was he in Circle of Friends? So then when you read that line, I was like, oh, it was a reference to a movie he was in. So anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I'm really glad I saw the podcast for this.
That was a good biography for that reference. Yeah, that movie, that was Minnie Driver was in that film.
Oh, yes.
That was like her big star-making turn. Circle of Friends.
It's also what Ramona calls her chauffeur, my Minnie Driver.
You know what? Go around that circle if you're not my friend, okay? You're my driver. You're my Minnie Driver, okay?
I can't believe my chauffeur got a movie role. It says Minnie Driver's in this movie, Circle of Friends.
Whoa, you know what? Maybe you should get a broomstick or something so you can hit the gas, okay? Because I need to get somewhere fast. Circle of Small Friends, Baby Driver, okay? What, is that the sequel? Baby Driver?
Whoa, I just found out my chauffeur also was very good at writing wills and also very good at hunting. I can't believe it. Mini Drivers, good will hunting.
You know what? One time, Mini Driver didn't show up, so I had to drive myself. And I was getting out of the car at Valet, and the guy said, oh my God, it's a baby driver. You don't look a day over babyhood. How did you touch gas pedal? Whoa.
Guess what? I look younger than Minnie Driver now, okay?
So then, let's see. So now he starts giving hints that they're going to have to play today's mission. You'll be taking a little trip to my, well, let's just call it my holiday home, a film I might have done with Cameron Diaz. Had anybody paid attention in casting, would have been great in that film. What was that movie with Cameron Diaz?
I think it was The Last Holiday or something. Here's one thing I have to say about my cabin. is that you might find some golden jewelries that you have an eye on. Golden Eye, which I was also in.
You know more Alan Cumming films than me. I don't know anything.
I think that's it. That's it. That's
I've got the Good Wife. That's it. And I remember he was in Cabaret on Broadway.
Yeah, I was going to say Cabaret.
Bienvenue. Murder.
Well, I also am like current with my I'm current with
Chanté. Murder.
Maybe this time there'll be murder.
Come to the murder, my friend.
I'm only more current on his IMDb because our friend Sue seems to be very current with his IMDb, and she basically went through his IMDb in front of me, and I just now have taken it on, and now I'm acting like I know the IMDb, but it's because of Sue. Thanks, Sue.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to My Cabin in the Woods, which is a film I was not in because apparently I'm a gay who they don't believe can adopt a child and be forced to possibly sacrifice her in the woods. So thanks a lot, non-casting me assholes.
What I'm trying to say is, welcome to Jurassic Park. I auditioned for that, so.
I met Laura Dern once on a retreat, but somehow still didn't get in that. Let's all go wild at heart together. Damn it. Another film I wasn't cast in.
On your way to the cabin in the woods, be sure not to step on any rambling roses. Just another Laura Dern film that I use as an acting class.
So he's like, good luck escaping. And Sheree's like, wait, what does he mean? Take an escape. An escape to the woods. What could escape mean? Escape. Escape the band? Is it the band?
It's Candy here. Do you know Escape? It's Candy
here. Do you guys know Escape? I know Escape.
Escape. We're going to Escape. We're at a concert.
And Kate's like, I think it's the cabin.
Yeah, I think it's the cabin.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
From Wondery, this is Black History For Real. I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm Conscious Lee.
What do most people think about when they hear the words Black History?
Rosa Parks, Reconstruction, MLK, February, Black History Month.
Exactly, exactly. There are so many stories of Black history that we just are not really talking about or thinking about, especially outside of February. And we are about to flip the script on all of that. Because on this show, you're going to hear a little less
in August 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
And a little bit more.
She is a heroine to some. As a fighter for Black rights, she is a villain to others.
Follow Black History For Real on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen everywhere on February 5th, or you can listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus starting January 29th. Join Wondery Plus on the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Academy is a new scripted podcast that follows Ava Richards, played by HBO's Industries' Myhala Harold, a brilliant scholarship student who has to quickly adapt to her newfound eat-or-be-eaten world. Ava's ambitions take hold and her small-town values break in hopes of becoming the first scholarship student to make the list. Bishop Gray's all-coveted academic top 10, curated by the headmaster himself. But after realizing she has no chance at the list on her own, she reluctantly accepts an invitation to a secret underground society that pulls the strings on campus life and academic success. If she bends to their will, she'll have everything she's ever dreamed of. But at what cost? Academy takes you into the world of a cutthroat private school where power, money, and sex collide in a game of life and death. Follow Academy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Academy early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So he's like, okay, go there. A la prochaine. So everyone is like heading out of the breakfast room, and Trishelle walks with Peter, Kevin's saying things like, wow, we seriously need to get rid of somebody in the clique. And Trishelle's like, where can we go? Let's meet in the armory. So Trishelle says, the traitors are targeting our little group And this is a new game, new mindset, new berets. And I think that Parvati and Phaedra could be the traitors. However, number-wise, Phaedra has way more people that would never vote for her. So it makes more sense to get rid of Phaedra now. And I'm like, fuck Rochelle for like figuring this out. I hate this. She's totally right. And I'm so mad at her for it.
Yeah, I kind of am too. But, you know, she's thrown so many darts. I don't even want to give her the credit for being right. Because she just keeps throwing darts at the wrong people, you know?
And she's also the most impassioned about black women, too. Like, notice that she suddenly gets, like, really, like, between this and Peppermint, this is when she gets really on her high horse.
Yeah, I did notice. but she didn't do anything overt. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll leave her alone on this one. But of course, you're like, of course, it's hard to with Trishelle to not be like, of course, this is the one that you're going to go off on.
You know? I would love it, by the way. I would love it if Trishelle became the new word for Karen, because there's like plenty of lovely Karens out there that we all know and love. There are people, like, Karen's a perfectly nice name.
I got a letter from a Karen who was like, listen, I love you guys, but my name is Karen and this is very offensive. And I'm sick of that name being used for, you know, what it is. And and I get it. Okay. Because for a long time, the only Ronnies I ever heard of were like the Republican president and a bunch of rapists on Law and Order. I mean, that's where I would hear that name, or it's like a murderer or something. They love using the name Ronnie on Law and Order as a murderer, or on Special Victims Unit as a rapist. That's the only time I would ever hear that name, like for years and years. And so I get it. I mean, I would hate for my name to be Karen and then hear it used in that way. And I get it, but you know what? You're calling the wrong customer service. That customer service is not us. Yeah. That's a term that's already out there. We didn't start that term, okay? Like, I didn't invent that. What do you want but from we can me? Make Trishelle, be mad at the first Karen.
But we can make Trishelle the new Karen, because there's no one else named Trishelle. Because I guarantee there's been no one in the past, ever since Real World Las Vegas, I guarantee there's been no one who said, I want to name my child Trishelle. I think there's only one Trishelle. Enough that you can say Trishelle and everyone knows who Trishelle is. So I think Trishelle, this way we don't have to make other people who are totally innocent by Karen bystanders. We don't have, they can like have their lives back, and we can now just call them all Trishelles.
I don't know. Do we really have the flex to make that happen?
No. But I'm putting it out there in the world.
We can change pop culture like that. But you know who does? Trishelle. So you know what? Here's rooting for you, Trishelle. Just keep it up. Okay? Just keep it up. So Trishelle's like, well, I have a million. She tells Peter, and Peter's like, oh my God, why would you think that? And she's like, well, I have a million reasons. She's super smart. She's super savvy. And she's never worried. Which is kind of funny, because isn't that how the English guy John was describing her? Super smart, super savvy. Like, poor smart people who come onto this show, they have no hope, because everyone with a brain, people are going to be like, they're smart, get them. Guess that's just like real life, eh? I mean, look at the bumps in the lockers that have made a dent. You know, those aren't the heads of stupid people. Those are heads of very smart people that have been shoved into that locker. Thank you. I just complimented myself as being a smart head.
Yeah.
My head was many lockers.
Well, the thing is this, to Trishelle's credit, John did just describe her as bright, etc. But Trishelle, to her credit, is a massive murder warrior. She's always concerned. And last episode, she literally lost her mind, you know, begging for that fire.
Yeah. Okay, so she thinks that Phaedra is the traitor because Dan called her out, and the only reason Dan called her out was to look like the hero by feeding up a real traitor, right?
Yeah.
And so Peter's like, well, I guess we can just get rid of Parvati, and then we'll suck up to Phaedra after, you know, and just hope she doesn't murder us.
And then this is sort of funny. This is funny for me as a viewer of the show, because I'm so mad that Trishelle, of all people, the Trishelle of the show, see, I didn't say the Karen of the show, but that Trishelle, of all people, she's actually kind of right. She's right. Her theory is correct. Her suspicions are correct. Her evidence is correct. And I hate that, because I love Phaedra. I want to protect her at all costs. But then I get mad at Peter, because Trishelle is totally correct. But Peter, being like the dick that he is, just completely dismisses her. And then all of a sudden, I'm now pivoting into, but wait a second, this is because Trishelle's a woman, you know? And so I'm like, I can't believe now I'm suddenly, in a split second, feeling a shred of empathy for Trishelle, because she was just summarily dismissed when she actually had the best case of all. But I still don't like Trishelle. But I'm just saying, I was on an emotional journey.
Well, Peter just cannot admit how terrible he is at this game, because he is so excited that he pulled a smart move by not telling people that he won, or who won the security blanket, whatever, the thing is, what is it? The Shield. Mm-hmm. When he won the Shield, like, that was a very smart move. But he's so proud of himself. He can't admit how dumb he is with that move where he asked Phaedra and Parvati to work with him. He cannot admit it. And he knows he just asked to work with the traitor, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dumb.
He's dumb. So
dumb. So Kevin goes to the armory, and Trishel and he talk. And so he's like, okay, what are you thinking? I think it's pretty obvious. It's Parvati. And she's like, it's Phaedra. Her eye twitches. And Dan was trying to save himself by putting another traitor on. And like, look at her eye. It twitches. Also, she's got hair growing out of it. It's creepy.
Kevin's like, yes, totally. Whenever Kevin's like, yes, you should just walk back your theory, because he's an idiot. And anything that he snips out, you know you're on the wrong path. Although, actually, technically, she's on the right path. So she's like, yeah, we need to get her out before Parvati, because Parvati is a wounded bird. She's by herself. And Peter's like, no, tonight, if Parvati gets to stay, she's not banished, she has no reason not to get rid of one of us. So he's worried that Parvati's going to get rid of him. So he is really only considering himself right now and not thinking the greater good of the game, which is to get out all the traitors.
Right. And she's like, okay, but then just tell her that we all think it's Phaedra and, like, see if she turns on Phaedra, which is actually a good plan.
Trishel's really in the pocket right now, to be honest.
Yeah, it's actually very smart. And Peter's like, but we already know it's her. She goes, oh my God, think ahead, Peter. And he goes, I am thinking ahead, okay? And let me tell you, I'm on a very warm lap drinking milk from something very large and warm. She's like, not your mother, Peter, okay? Not 2 weeks into the future, like three moves into the future. I miss you too, honey.
So Peter's like, but why would Parvati be so willing to work with us? Trishel's like, oh my God, do I have to? I am Trishel. I should not have to spell this out for you, okay? She'll do anything to save her ass. If we give her a lifeline, of course she'll work with us. And then Kevin goes, I think you're onto something. Well, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for your endorsement.
Okay, so Parvati's like, okay, talk to Parvati after this, because she's going to vote to save herself. So Peter says he's going to try, but he tells us, he's like, you know, Trishel did make some valid points, and I'm willing to, like, suss it out, but not really sure about this hooker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now Peter takes Parvati to the side, and he's like, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do this, but I've got to go become Parvati's best friend and actually have her believe me. And I think I'm her biggest enemy at this point, but I have my work cut out for me. We're going to do this. We're going to convince Parvati to turn on Phaedra. I'm like, it's not going to be hard. I feel like she already did turn on Phaedra 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see here. Next up, Peter takes Parvati aside to talk to her. So he's like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Like, I'm her biggest enemy. And, you know, I have my work cut out for me, but I have to convince her. So he's like, okay, you want to know when I felt like our relationship took a turn? And she's like, oh, when you told me to keep your secret, I didn't know if I could trust you. So I trusted the wrong person. From day one, I just felt so targeted from Larsa. And then Dan came up to me and said, I'll be your number one. I'll protect you. And that's how I operate in these games. I just need to find a man to protect me. A man to let me know everything's going to be okay. And he's like, I can be that man. She's like, can you? This was the weirdest conversation. And they were looking into each other's eyes like, oh my God, I'm so glad we finally had this talk together. She's like, oh my God, thank God I found someone so strong to take care of me, Peter. It's like, oh my God, she's playing this guy like a fiddle and he's totally falling for it.
Totally. And she's like, I do not trust Peter at all, but I do believe I can convince Peter that I'm a faithful, and then that will be amazing because people will believe what he says and I will work with public enemy number one, and if it takes some of the suspicion off me, fine.
She's so smart because this is a total bachelor move. You know, it's like, you have to keep me because they were just mean to me and all I really needed was a man to tell me it was going to be okay. I mean, she's pulling this whole bullshit that comes from The Bachelor, and it totally works on him. And you would think that he's smarter, but he was not very good at The Bachelor either. I think I've mentioned that before.
Yes.
So, of course, he ends up being like, wow, Now Parvati's in love with me. He's like, I'm totally taking her to hometowns. Like, meanwhile, she's dating the guy from Gentleman Jack. I mean, she's dating the chick from Gentleman Jack, which is hilarious.
Really?
You know? Yes, Parvati. Isn't
wow.
that funny? That's so fucking hot, by the way. Oh my God. I'm not even a lesbian, obviously, but even I'm like, oh, what a hot fucking couple those two are. But anyway, he totally falls for it. So nice work on her part.
Yeah. And by the way, MJ is snooping. And so she's sitting there on the side. Like, and she's this week she's in like this pink satin outfit. So it's a nice upgrade from the jeans thing she was wearing last week. So she's listening in, and which is it's a really good outfit for being an eavesdropper, because she does like blatant eavesdropping. Like, she literally puts her hand up to her ear, and she's not even next to the door. She just like has the hand up. It was very much like, you know, eavesdropping on camera style. And so then she goes back to the other room, and she's like, Peter and Parvati are having a conversation right now, and it just like doesn't add up. And Kate's like, yeah, well, this is Parvati begging Peter for her life, which is like really sad to beg for Peter for anything. Actually, it's just sort of sad to talk to any of you people. I'm just like bored. Can I get out of here?
I hate you all. I hope you all die. I would traitor all of you in 2 seconds just because you're fucking boring. Okay.
Kate has a great theory here. She goes, yeah, well, she's making the rounds, and I will say she's like very persuasive, and she's also a yoga teacher. You know, I took a Bikram yoga class once, the ones that are hot, which is awful and hideous. And that yoga teacher voice, just like, you know, they're just convincing you to stay in hell. I was like, that is a very compelling argument, and that should have been launched right from the beginning.
Well, you know, that's always mine. Like, super new agey people who are trying to get you to bend around and stretch and shit. Fuck you. You're evil, and I'm not trusting you. I know what you're trying to do to me.
I know. I actually have a yoga class tonight for the first time in like 6 months, and I'm very scared because those yoga teachers are really evil. They're really, really evil. They always are so perky. It's like, okay, guys, well, we're just going to do a little bit of light work here. So just like bend your leg behind your neck and hold this pose for about 5 minutes, and it'll be great, guys. I'm like, why?
You know what? Maybe I'm looking this up because I don't want to be saying the wrong thing. I don't know where I read Gentleman Jack. I thought I read that, but now I looked it up, and this is from Diva Magazine, who I trust any magazine. Now, I will not trust anybody having anything to do with yoga, but I will trust anybody having anything to do with the word diva. Okay. Mm. That automatically wins a gay's trust right there. This is from Diva Magazine. And it says, the comedian and Survivor star have brought some queer joy to the start of 2024. Comedian and actor Mae Martin have made sure to leave 2023 with a bang by hard launching their new girlfriend, Parvati Shallow, on Instagram. So there you go.
There. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Good for her. Good for Parv.
Yeah. So it's non-binary. It's not lesbian. So excuse me. Oh, do not do that on purpose,
you.
Everybody.
Thank but you for it's realizing.
Still, It's still good to know. Parvati, you go, girl, is my point, okay?
So in another room, Shreya and Phaedra are sitting with John, and Shreya's like, I wonder when the escape concert's going to begin. And then she asks Phaedra, like, you know, who are Phaedra's choices for who might be besides Parvati, who might be a traitor? And Phaedra's like, I don't know. I mean, you just don't want to boldly accuse somebody, but Peter acts so crazy. Like, you don't want to think so. But then, which is good, because that's how Phaedra, she does more than Dan, because she does put a name out there. She doesn't do a hard accusation, but she does just enough to be like, I will participate in this. I will do it.
She's like, I don't want to put anybody's name on the block, but you can if you want to put this name up there.
Yeah.
Here's one to put up there. And so then we cut back to Peter, and he's totally fallen for it. He's like, maybe I was wrong about you after all. She's like, I know there's no chance that you would ever talk to me again because you made up your mind after that. But I'm just, you know, I've become a complete porcupine. You know how girls do when they feel like they're not loved? We just become so mean to poor men who don't deserve it. Peter, I'm so sorry if I've been prickly to you. It's only because I love you.
I've become a porcupine. I just rely on the comfort of strangers. And Peter's like, oh, believe me, I've been feeling your porcupine quills, and I've been coming right back at you too. So truce. Oh, truce. It's a man having truce with me. Absolutely, sir.
Yeah, and he's like, well, maybe you aren't a traitor then, but I think Phaedra, like legit, Phaedra was the one I thought was with you, but why not eliminate Phaedra? We could get rid of Phaedra. Let's work together a little bit now. Like, if we get Phaedra, then that's a way to get people off of your back.
Well, I mean, I say, I would never do, I would do whatever it takes at this point, especially if a gentleman comes and saves me.
And he's like, okay, then give me a hug. Said, oh, really? Even though we're not married yet? Will you think less of me? So they hug, and she's like, I adore Phaedra. I don't want to turn on her, but I just need to stay in the game. And if that means getting Phaedra out, then so be it. This is my shoot you in the headband. This is my shoot you in the head headband.
So now they all have to drive off to the cabin, and Kate's like, well, I'm expecting this mission is going to be awful because they all are, and it's also raining. She's like, why did I come back to this stupid show? So then Trishelle, she's like going on this rant. She's talking to Parvati while Sandra and John are listening. And she goes, Parvati, I know your name is thrown around a lot for banishment, but I'm not convinced that you're a traitor, and neither is Peter. And Parvati's like, well, thank you, because I'm not. And I have way more reasons for Phaedra to be a traitor than you. I talk to Kevin, I talk to Peter, and whenever I'm with Phaedra in the morning, she is never nervous, and she doesn't even wear a beret. I was going through my notes last night, and I have a shitload on her. But I'm nervous because if we don't get her out on this banishment, she's going to go all the way to the end and take all the faithful's money.
So dun, 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 she's going to be coming for banishment. So now they get to this creepy cabin, and Dr. Will's there. Man, that guy ages well. I didn't think he was going to age well because he's just so pasty. And I just thought he's so pasty and black-eyed. I thought he was going to end up kind of like a little albino bat, just kind of hanging out. And I guess that's what they're going for with this, is just for him to look super creepy, which he does, but it's so hot.
Well, he has really not aged at all, but that's also because pasty was always his brand. Like that, he's a dermatologist, right? So his whole thing was always that he stays out of the sun, and he always he's always buffed and shiny, and like the only way you know he's gotten older is that he's let his hair go salt and pepper, which I think looks great on him, by the way. But it's funny because he's like, "Hello, I'm Dr. Will," and there was a meme on going around that was just all the women from Bravo just huh, who? everyone on CBS is like, oh my God, Dr. Will, and everyone from Bravo is I'm sorry, who are you?
Yeah, that's the trouble with mixing all of the different channels together, because I don't have the reverence I should for a lot of the Survivor people just because I haven't watched it in so many years.
I'm like, Icon! Mother!
Yeah, but Will I do, obviously. Will I got. So he explains the game. So basically, this is it's an escape room, and they all have to be locked into this house, and they have to collect shields and keys, and they have to guide each other through the house. Someone has to stay in one room and guide everybody with clues, and then some people have to go into these tunnels and crawl around where there's lots of creepy shit.
Yeah. And basically, if you don't want to do it anymore, your safe word is you yell haggis. That to me is my favorite part of this, because by and large, this was just a Fear Factory thing with people crawling around and bugs dropping on them. But every time they would Sheree. So Sheree loses her mind after with the first time bugs fall on her. She's just like, haggis, haggis, haggis. And Phaedra's like, haggis, haggis. All the Bravo people basically say haggis and get out of there.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Kate's like, I hate you. I would not stay here even if bugs weren't dropping on me. I was going to call haggis anyway. Bye. So she leaves.
Your time starts.
Sheree, I'll leave.
Your time starts, haggis. Now.
They were also the ones that were standing in the clue room. They had to give the clues, which was hilarious. And so Bugs, so Kate's giving blues. She had to hold two switches at the same time. When you hold one switch, the other one goes off, and it controls the lights in the tunnels. So she had to vacillate between that. And she's just standing there bored. And so one good positive thing about that is she's staring at the ceiling I hate my life. Get me out of here. But as she's staring at the ceiling, she sees there's a trap door. So she's like, oh, hell no. I'm not standing here. I'm not doing this part because if there's a trap door, something's going to fall out of that trap door. It's Pavlov's trap door. So she's like, fuck this. So she gets out of there and bugs fall on everybody else.
I would say this challenge went on for a very long time. Like, I felt like this was not the best challenge. I thought the cabin challenge last year was funnier, but it was funny to me watching the Bravo women just be like, haggis, 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 haggis. So there's a lot of like people crawling through mud, trying to find the stuff, finding the shields, just going on and on. And the people who do find the shield, again, they're going to keep it secret. Who gets the shield again? I don't even remember who got the shield. Was it Trishel again? CT. I think CT gives it to Trishel.
Well, Trishel, yeah, he gives it to Trishel, yeah, as a peace offering. It's like, oh my God, thank you. Maybe we are best friends, just like I thought this whole time.
Yeah, so...
And Peter, of course, is like, do not tell anybody who got the shield.
Yeah, so they come out and CT's like last because he has to help Kevin out. And then CT pretends, they're like, oh, did you get that last gold? And he's like, no. And then he goes, hold on, I think there's like a snake in my pants. And he pulls out the gold and they all scream. And he's like, I mean, there was a snake in my pants, but there was also a gold brick.
And the thing about all the Bravo people leaving the challenge was they literally just left Kevin there alone to do everything himself. And it wasn't a one-man job. So he had to go through the whole tunnel thing alone, which was hilarious.
I loved it. Good for it. Because Kevin, I can't stand Kevin. I think actually of all the people on the show, the one I actually really dislike the most is Kevin because he's just like an asshole. He's like an asshole and he's really dumb. At least Rochelle is figuring things out. Like Rochelle's like strangely on top of things. So I have to give her like some respect for that. But Kevin just has no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
And how he eats. You know, there are some things I just don't forgive with people. Like Southern Charm, Olivia had like a big hero season this season, but I've watched her eat and I will never be able to be an Olivia fan. That's it.
It's imprinted.
Austin, it's imprinted. Olivia, Shep, that whole cast, they eat disgustingly and that's it. They're dead to me. So the cast has won 15 grand, but because four people left, they lose 4 grand.
Yeah.
And MJ's like, sorry, I tried, which of course she did not.
She was out in 30 seconds. She's like, guys, I can't do this. So Alan also says that, you know, someone won a shield. He's like, is there anyone who would like to share that they got the shield? No. A deafening silence. Okay. You face mud, bugs, and rodents. Please get yourselves a brush down before you come to the round table. The only snakes and rats in there should be you lot. Toodles!
I felt bad for the actual rats that were in the show because they put some hairless rats in the show.
I know.
And I'm glad that nobody stomped them or like kicked them out of the way or anything because that could be animal cruelty and rats are actually really nice.
I feel like I think Sandra was actually nice to the rat. She goes, hi, Mr. Rat, at some point.
Yeah, that was cute. She actually pet the rat.
And actually, the snakes and rats, I think that's also another Survivor reference. I think there's like a lot of references happening, you know, like weaved into the show. We don't even notice until we go back.
Oh my God, you just did it though. Because weaves are very big on Housewives. So then Peter is talking to Parvati about like, let's get her, you know. And he's like, I was worried. We have the votes, you know. And he's like, I don't think I would be worried if I were you. And she's like, well, I don't know that I trust Peter, but now I need to see where John's head is at because he's like seen as the most faithful of the faithful. So she sits John down and she tries to kind of do the same thing she did with Peter. And so she's like, I've really just wanted to talk to you because, you know, I just realized that when I feel like I'm under attack, I can, you know, get a little harsh. And I think that's what I've done with you, John.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, Dan's just like this target, like I trust the wrong person. And because of Dan, this like target is just like stuck on me. And like when I feel like I'm under threat, I just think it's just like a continuation of how I've been living things that I've been going through for the past 2 years. And like the only way I've gotten through that was like completely masking my emotions and putting on headbands. And I'm just like doing the same thing here. So I just like don't think it's doing me any favors anymore.
And he's like, this is the first time I've observed you so emotional. For what it's worth, of all the people that I've met in this game, nobody has been able to withstand the pressure of having something so gigantic on top of their heads. Is that a second head that's growing out of you? Is it a new jaw? What is that? It looks like an archway growing out of your head.
It's like you've put a horseshoe on your head.
It's almost as if your head is a piece of luggage that someone is going to pull the handle out of to roll down the airport expressway.
It's like you're in one of those games where you're surrounded by stuffed animals and the claw came down to pluck you out and you said no, other way around, and you took the claw with you.
It's as if I have to lift up the handle, take out the tiny Keurig K-cup pod, put a new one in and slam down the handle on your head to make the Keurig work. Is that what's happening?
Nobody has revealed and displayed greater guts than you in that vice grip of a Keurig machine.
Now listen here, my little chip clip. I will do whatever I need to make sure that you're safe.
Now be careful of all the balls flying at your face. Croquet balls, that is. It looks sort of like a croquet game. So she goes, I am faithful, I would never. And she goes, well, I just put a little crack in his mind, and I think, like, you know, maybe he's thinking, like, maybe she isn't a traitor after all. If I can get away with this, maybe I have a new career in acting. Which is funny. I don't think that there's not much of a survivor to acting pipeline, so I'm not sure, Parvati. Not sure.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. Although Mike White has built the Survivor to extremely famous TV writer pipeline.
And actually, Mike White has created the Survivor to bit part in White Lotus pipeline, because he does cast people from his seasons of Survivor on the White Lotus, which is hilarious.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's a little Easter eggs for those of us who are Survivor fans. Mother, oh, I icon. I love that.
I love that because love most that. People, I feel like, try to distance themselves from reality TV. Like, I'm a real actor. So that's good that he's, like, bringing reality TV to HBO. That's fucking great.
It is good. And I'm sure there are, like, some survivors who've done very well with acting, because I know people are going to write and say, actually, this person has been doing this for, like, 5 years. So, like, I get it.
So then Phaedra is eating and she's basically rubbing blood all over her face saying, I'm a traitor, because she's just rolling around in her towel, which is complimenting food. She's like, pork belly, yummy. Oh, that was delicious. I love the pork belly. I'm like, oh my God, she's just basically confessing over and over again in here.
There is literally a sign that says buffet for the traders only. And she's just in there and going, yummy. Where is everybody? Phaedra, if you're alone in this game, that's bad. Go to the people. So meanwhile, Trishel is sitting with John, CT, and Kate. And John's like, so what about tonight's business? And Kate's like, well, since I've been here, Parvati was mentioned like every single time. So I'm just going to finish that one because otherwise it's stupid to do anything else. So, okay, this conversation's done. Trishel's like, no. I have something else that I think it could be from day one. And by day one, I mean 2 days ago, I have noticed some things and written them all down and taken pretty good notes. You know, for Phaedra, I have a ton of stuff, a ton of stuff. I'm like, Trishel, you did not start taking notes on Phaedra until Dan mentioned something a day ago. Otherwise, you would have said something, because the moment you're suspicious of someone, you broadcast it to everyone who's nearby.
Yeah, and she's like, well, everybody's going to vote how they want, but I'm just going to give my points, and, like, if you think they're believable, cool, just know that I'm voting for Phaedra. So, I'm going to go ahead. And so she starts giving, and she's like, look, I'm not going to be murdered because I have the shield, but I'm less convinced about Parvati than Phaedra. So Kate's like, oh, okay, this is somebody that you'd spent a whole game being like, oh, I definitely know this person is a faithful. Wait, who are they talking about? I got lost in my notes.
I got lost too. I started thinking about the game.
So Trishel's like, okay, I have a whole list of shit, so don't worry. So then Kate's like, I'm just confused. These people, like, everybody keeps saying Parvati. And now in the final hour, Trishel is throwing out Phaedra. Like, why are you throwing a wrench in the Parvati plan? Can we just stick to the Parvati, please? I mean, it's the headbands alone. Okay, let's just get the main anchor out of here. Sir, headbands, please.
Listen, I just want to vote her out just basically because of the headbands. I just can't stand looking at them anymore. So Trishel's like, Parvati's by herself, but Phaedra will be hard to get out in the end. I'm like, I don't know if that logic really works. You're right, but I don't know if that logic actually supports you being right in this situation. So Sandra's like, well, that's why you want her name to come up today instead of tomorrow? And CT's like, yeah, but like, does she know that you're going to do this? And Chell says, no, because she's such a good arguer. She's the smartest person here. Whatever. Maybe I take terrible notes. And if it's not her, I will burn my notebook. Okay, I'm going to burn it. Which, by the way, she's not going to burn her notebook. She never will.
She doesn't have a notebook.
She doesn't have a notebook to it.
So I don't believe her. So then Phaedra enters the room and they're like, oh, no. And she's like, oh, you're quiet. Did you all just eat the pork belly? It was delicious.
And this group, they don't have any of that chill. Like on Survivor, I will say people are really good about pivoting conversations when someone barges in. But here they all, Kate just goes, well, I have to use the ladies' room. Have a great night, everyone. Bye.
I'd rather be pooping. Goodbye.
They all just leave.
Yeah. And Phaedra's like, okay, well, this feels weird, but I don't feel my name is going to come up, but who knows? And this is where I start worrying about Phaedra because she should know. She should be able to sense that they're coming for her. Mm-hmm. And she should be worrying about planting seeds to get somebody else out, you know, because at this point, Phaedra's always on the defense. She's got to do something. I mean, other than murdering people,
right?
Like she's got to do something to cause suspicion for people.
But I think that Phaedra going into the round table, I think she thinks that she's more in the clear than she is after the whole Dan fiasco. And I think what she's going to learn in this round table is that like, oh, probably going forward, she is going to have to be ready with like all the excuses, right? So Phaedra feels, she knows, I think Phaedra goes into this thinking like, okay, this is the round table where I've got to turn on poverty. I don't think she realizes this is going to be a round table where she's going to have to defend herself so much.
Right. Okay, so then we get to the round table and Phaedra's like, well, you know, Parvati's a good girl, but goodbye. Goodbye. And Parvati's like, it's either going to be me or Phaedra, but there's no other names on the block. So I wish there's a way we could both be saved. But unfortunately, I'm choosing my headband over Phaedra. She's out.
Shell's like, I have like the most evidence that you can have in this game. And by the way, people don't realize this. I have a law degree. Well, actually, I have an American Girl Place doll that is a lawyer. And that makes me a lawyer. So I've got the evidence and I'm feeling a bit nervous, but Phaedra has 3 ride or dies and I could show them on paper that Phaedra is a traitor and they still will not vote for her.
So Alan comes in fabulously. You know, he's like, who has run out of time? Who will be punished tonight? And it's a big, long silence. And Parvati's like, okay, well, I guess I need to start today. So I know my name's been out there. Some of you are wondering how I could still be married to Warren Beatty. Well, you know, easily. Just don't speak to them. Just don't watch any of his old movies. It was worth it for Bugsy. It was worth it for Bugsy. Okay, well, people are saying that I'm acting weird, but thankfully I'm just a girl and I've met a man whose name is Peter, who's made me feel secure again. So I would just like to thank Peter and all men everywhere for what they do for sad, sad, weak women who just need to be told what to do. Thank you.
Yeah, I've made some poor decisions in who I decided to trust, and I made friends with Dan, which was a big problem because he was a traitor, and I didn't know he was a traitor. Now I'm in a real big predicament, and I've clammed up like a shell. And Shell says, so going over my notes, did I mention that I've got notes? I've got notes, yeah. So going over my notes from last night, I was looking back, and I was like, when did we, like, start talking about Parvati, right? And I didn't have much on Parvati, and I had, like, acting suspect, super quiet, which, by the way, that's what you use to railroad about 5 people out of this house, Trishelle. So she goes, yeah. And those are not really compelling arguments unless they're working in my favor. So, but for Phaedra, I have so much for you. Like, I'm going to start with the least compelling and I'm going to end with the most compelling. Like, okay, Trishelle. Trishelle has the floor, everyone.
Yeah. So she just goes on and on. She's like, well, the first thing is that whenever we go to breakfast, you're never nervous.
I'm like, but wasn't the last round table the whole thing that Phaedra does too much? Isn't that the reason why she had to say, I do too much because you do too little? Like, so first, Phaedra,
good point, yeah.
Phaedra is too over the top at breakfast, and now they're saying she's too low-key. So I don't understand. I mean, Trishelle, again, correct, but I'm just saying your logic is not consistent.
And she's like, and you don't seem surprised at who's murdered. And she goes, what would make you think I don't seem surprised? I mean, whenever I'm surprised about anything, I usually say, boiled egg. Boiled egg.
I mean, like, wouldn't you also? I mean, yes, someone got murdered, but I mean, the real story here is they're scones. So Trishelle says, your non-reaction, like you're never worried. You're not scared about being murdered at all. And I'm not sure what that means.
And she's like, I've been nervous numerous times. I don't know what you want me to do to be nervous. I'm not frantic like you. I love that.
I'm not frantic like you. I feel like I've never heard frantic used in such an insulting way before. It's great.
And so Trishelle's like, well, I said I'd start with the lowest thing. And that was lowest. And so like, okay, so what's next? And so... She says, well, the most compelling things for me, the thing for me was, and I do not see a way around this. Dan was smart, and I knew he was going to do a roundtable and say someone's name that was a traitor, because if he put a traitor up, then he'd look like a hero to everybody else for getting rid of a traitor. And I think he turned on you, and that's why he said your name.
But so, again, strong argument by Trishelle on that one. But John, I think, actually, he comes in and he says, Phaedra, what possible incentive does Dan have at the point at which he knows he is going to be banished permanently from the castle to lie?
And she's like, well, I would think that he would protect the traitors. I mean, he's not going to give someone up who is a traitor.
Mm-hmm. And Kate's like, well, I remember last year we voted out 2 traitors, and I wish it had been that easy that we would have just like banished and found the traitor of whoever the most recent banished traitor had voted for. That would have made the game very easy. I've got an idea. How about this? Instead of voting out any traitors, why don't we just take Parvati's headband and throw it in a fire? I think that would just make everyone happy. Everyone gets to stay.
Why don't we just vote out people with terrible fashion?
If you're wearing a headband or a beret, let's throw it in the fire.
Okay, so Kevin's like, well, I have observations as well.
Great.
So he's like, Phaedra, your eye twitches. And she goes, well, I've never had anybody come from my twitchy eye. And Trishelle's like, yeah, well, I noticed it too. Don't act like it was you too. You were the one who brought that idea on the table.
I know.
I don't think we're allowed to be like coming for people's twitchy eyes anyway. I don't think that's very nice.
Yeah. Phaedra's like, oh, Lord. And Kevin goes, I'm just curious. Have you grown up with the twitches? I'm just curious. Okay. Okay, Matlock. Let's settle down over here. This is not helpful.
Okay, Perry Mason. Relax over there.
You really got her now. Oh, so, yeah. So is he trying to imply that like this is like late life twitching? Like somehow like the twitch like arrived here at the game? I guess he's trying to say like, do you just have like a twitching issue? Or does your twitch only come out when you're acting guilty?
I thought that was hilarious. Is the twitching from childhood? Tell us, where did the twitching start?
Is there a Wikipedia entry on your twitch?
Yeah. So she's like, no one's ever said that. I've never heard in a day in my life that my eye twitches. How dare you? And he's like, just an observation. I mean, if you had observed it, you would have seen it too, but it would look like a strobe light was on because your eye's twitching.
So John, CT's like, he's like, so John, what are you thinking? And John's like, well, I do have a thought. I feel it's just intuition. Parvati could well be a Duchess of Deception and a Mistress of Murder. But I have heard what you have said in relation to Dan. But there is no doubt that you were his accomplice and he yours, and possibly his partner in crime.
I have detected that you have been worried about banishment, but that you've been, if you like, serene about the threat of murder. At the sacrifice ritual, people were given the opportunity to plead for their lives, and you didn't. You chose to say nothing. You are a traitorous wench, and you shall be decapitated at dawn. Damn, Dawn, Jesus.
I love that John ultimately did not fall for the sob story. That was great. And so she says, she's like, you know, I've been dead scared until very recently when there's been so much suspicion on me, because I felt like the more suspicion on me, the more the traitor are going to keep me around, because they wouldn't murder someone who's probably going to be the next banished, because that would be smart for the traitor to do that. So I've been a lot more scared about being banished because there's been a lot of suspicion on me. You know, Kevin was like, wait, can you start that from the top? I couldn't follow.
I know, it's a lot. It's a lot of monologuing. And so Peter's like, I have an observation. Peter, okay. Don't you just see what happened? Like, let it go. Like, you've just seen this person get her fate sealed. I mean, my God, it's like literally someone nailing nails into a coffin. And Peter's like, oh, here we go. I vote for Bergie.
I have an observation. Peter is the best son there ever was. Okay, continue.
So he's like, Phaedra, I do believe that I haven't seen true faithful qualities from you. And, you know, in regards to the fear that comes naturally with being a faithful. And you're not privy to that fear because you're a traitor.
What? Why is he trying to sound smart right now? And so she goes, oh, you're the faithful king, right? Which I love it because it's something like so satanic. You know, it's like whenever there's a demon in the movie, they're like, oh, aren't you holy? What do you love, Jesus?
So Peter says, I didn't say that. I think Dan did tell us something, whether he intended to or not, and I just can't like lose that from my mind. Trishelle says, yeah, I just think that like so many people have gone home for like a lot less. I'm like, yeah, because of you, Trishelle. You are the one who sends people home for a lot less.
So Kate steps in and she says, okay, well, you guys were very passionate about voting out Parvati. She goes, yeah, until I read my notes again. She goes, okay, but so why did those reasons evaporate again? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? 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 Bueller?
Bueller? Peter says, well, I had a conversation with Parvati that completely shifted my view. And like, I'm not saying it's 100%, but the pendulum started coming back down. So they have now given Phaedra enough time to now come up with her retort. So she says, well, because there's a backdoor deal going down. The other day when I was in the armory with Peter and Poverty, Peter made the interesting comment, Poverty, I can work with you. We can work together. And I said, let me dismiss myself from this because I don't want to be a part of this conversation. So this was great because Phaedra is now using Peter's attempt at a trap against him. And I think that this is a key moment for her.
And she's also extremely smart because she's using the momentum she's already got against Parvati, right? So she's not doing like stupid Peter could have gotten away with this by not accusing Phaedra. Like he could have just kept his hands clean, but instead he tried it. And
Yeah. I think that actually Phaedra... Well, I mean, she's probably smart in doing this, but I hope that she plants seeds that Peter was recruited by Parvati, which is why they suddenly started working together. I really hope she plants that seed.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, well, they're working together, and I wouldn't do it, right? So Peter's like, he just looks all scared, and he's like, okay, guys, well, I guess I'll be honest, but I know this sounds crazy. And Pedro goes, please do be honest. And he's like, well... when that conversation happened, I was just being maybe a little cocky. And I was like, oh, I got her. Like, you know, dead in my sights. And, you know, I thought, do you want to work together?
It's like, oh, Peter, no. You didn't think you were going to be called out on this?
And Parvati goes, and I said, Peter, why would you want to work with me if you think I'm a traitor? And he says, and then I said, I'm just joking. So now Kate can't stand bullshit. So she goes, okay, so after you had the conversation... That was a joke. Do you want to work together? But suddenly you've changed your mind about Parvati, who you were so passionate about. Help, like, make this make sense for me, please.
Oh, yeah. He's really sealed his own fate here. So Peter's like, why are you defending Phaedra so much? And she's like, because I think it's weird that you've been so Parvati all this time. And then right after you have this meeting, then you're suddenly on her side.
I'm still not a Parvati.
And she's like, I'm not done speaking, which I was glad that she could use one of the men's thing against them, because that's their thing. I'm still talking, ma'am.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm defending Phaedra because it's weird that you're so Parvati all the time, and then you want to work together, and switch it to Phaedra, and really, like, the whole thing that your whole big case is relying on is the fact that Dan's being this brilliant game player, and he must have been, like, giving you a clue on his way out, and no, Dan sucked at this game, which we all saw, and that's why he's not here anymore. So...
I love this. See, I guess what I love about this is that, like, what's funny is that all the faithful are right. Like, they're going to hit a traitor no matter what, which is what's so funny. But I like that, I guess for me, when I watch the show, I'm, like, thinking of arguments that can be used to turn the faithful, like, arguments for Phaedra's sake. So I love when people actually use them, because that's what she's doing here. And so I get excited for that.
Well, you got it there with that one, that's for sure. So CT's like, I don't know what to think, but it's time to vote. So now
they vote. So Sandra tells us, I totally believe Parvati's a traitor. I'm glad she's finally got the eat at the round table. She deserves that. So CT's like, yeah, you know, me and Phaedra's getting along pretty well. But, you know, like, I can't light the fire of someone who picked me in that tour ceremony, all right? So I'm going for the other chick.
So I was like, MJ, who do you think is a traitor and why? So MJ does Parvati. Phaedra does Parvati, of course. But Phaedra's actually like respectful in her confessional. She's basically like, I think she played a courageous game. I think she was a great traitor, but it's time to leave the game. She has to, you know. She's not like she's like very respectful. They both are to each other. And then Sandra votes for Parvati, but Peter votes for Phaedra.
Yeah, and John votes for Parvati, and Parvati votes for Phaedra. So this is not looking good for Peter. He's really a dummy. My God.
Yeah, but I was still very nervous. I was like, oh my God, if they get rid of Phaedra, I will be so mad. So they're just like voting. It's like it's coming right down to it. But ultimately, it's Parvati who gets voted out. So Alan's like, Parvati, you have received the most votes and are banished from the game. Come forward to the Circle of Truth. Not related to the Circle of Friends, which is available on streaming. Before you leave my castle forever, please reveal to us, are you a faithful or are you a traitor?
And she's like, guys, I've spent the last 2 years of my life practicing truth-telling and emotional authenticity. I love that. So was she traumatized by her time on Survivor 2, where she's like, guys, I've done emotional work on myself. As a villain from Survivor, because that's what villains always do. They're like, guys, I've been working on myself for 2 years, so
yeah,
I'm a good person now.
I think maybe she's talking about a divorce. She had mentioned a divorce earlier in the season, like she was recently divorced. So I'm wondering if she's talking about like going through that process. I have no idea, honestly, what she really is talking about. My suspicion is about a divorce. But yeah, people always, whenever they're villains, they always talk about how they're like working on themselves, making themselves better. So
kind of like Parvati 2.0. She's like, yeah, so I was really working on myself and I wanted to play a faithful game, but I wasn't. I'm a traitor, fuckers.
Yep. And so then they all clap and they're happy. And Kim's like, that was a good speech for a dummy. And Trishelle's like, all right, I'm burning my notebook. Which she's not going to do. Also, she doesn't have to because she already said, well, I know Parvati's a traitor, but we should just get Phaedra out first. So I don't know why she has to burn her notebook, but I would like her to because I don't want her to come for Phaedra.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens. So are we done? Let me see.
No.
Oh my God, there's a lot more going on.
Yeah, there's more show. I was like,
oh, someone's gone. Okay. Bye, everybody. Thank you for being here.
I know. You're like, hey, this is fun. So
I read her speech and I was like, Ben will wrap this up. I'm going to go read on People magazine about Parvati's divorce. She did get divorced in 2022, for anyone wondering.
So everyone goes drink some wine. And Phaedra's like, whew, that was a lot. That was very scary for me. So Kevin's talking with MJ and he goes, let me just tell you why I don't feel good today. Because like all of a sudden, Peter not having any suspicion at all of Parvati, that threw me off a little bit. But I don't know if it's like really how he felt. And for some reason, I don't know if I believe Peter. There's just something not sitting right with me. So this is great because now Kevin is one of like one of the most loyal Peter people. And now he's suspicious of Peter because of how everything came out. This is a bad look for Peter. He was outed as having a secret meeting with Parvati. He changed his game plan, and now Parvati is revealed to be a traitor, which makes Peter look really, really shitty. I am praying that the faithful get totally confused by this and turn it all against Peter. That would be amazing. And what would be amazing if that does happen is that if he does wind up getting banished because of this, he could have been a traitor all along. He had that opportunity to become a traitor and save his game, and instead he tried to be all like virtuous. So I really hope
he could have been a traitor and gone all the way to the end, you know?
Yeah.
They really all believed him. But alas, he's a dummy. So he calls Kate to speak alone, to have an alone talk, which is just never going to work out. I don't think anybody on the years of television we've watched Kate, anybody said, can we have a private talk where they ended up looking like the bigger person?
Yeah.
Kate? No, it's never going to. I mean, maybe with Captain Lee, but never with like anybody her peers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Never.
It never works. And when and as he pulls her, Sandra is like watching. And here's the thing. Peter is he was just starting to get Sandra's trust. And now she's like, oh, Peter's fucked up. Peter has more traitor behavior than anybody.
Yeah. Okay, so then Sandra and Phaedra talk a little, and Sandra's like, oh my God, Peter's fucked up, right? You know, she goes, yeah, I mean, come on. And she's like, his behavior is odd. I mean, if you're not a traitor, how could you be working with the traitor? This is fishy. Mm-hmm. So then Peter pulls Kate aside, and he's like, well, look, I was just trying to play with Parvati. She goes, yeah, I know. You just lied to a table of faithfuls about somebody, you know, being not a traitor when you definitely knew that they were a traitor. So you're stupid, and you're going to go to stupid jail. And this is just what you're going to get. This is a good talk. Are we finished? I'm going to go not eat and watch people without things on their head do things, because I think I've earned that right.
And he's like, no. I was not faithful to a traitor. She was going to be gone tomorrow night. Do you not believe anything I've been saying? Like, I was gassing her up the entire day. And she was like, no, I don't believe it. No, you're stupid.
I don't believe you.
You're a stupid person.
No,
you're boring.
Done. You're on laundry.
You're stupid and boring.
You're on laundry until the end of time.
So basically now really Kate thinks Peter's a traitor. Sandra thinks Peter's a traitor. Kevin's thinking Peter's a traitor. This is excellent. You know, I would have liked it if Parvati and Phaedra could have survived intact, both of them, but I love this suspicion. So now we go over to the turret. And Alan's like, the clock chimes signaled our faithful players to their chambers, but under the cover of darkness, our last remaining traitor is taking the well-trodden path to the turret. But in this place, thou shalt not suffer a traitor to live alone.
So he comes to see Phaedra, and Phaedra's like, I'm the last one standing from day one. And I belong in a castle, honey. I'm definitely a queen. And the others fell by the wayside because they were a little suspicious. So I deserve Miss Congeniality for traitors, honey. So now it's time for Alan to join her and make her pick a new traitor.
Yes. So he's like, and then Phaedra, there was one. And she goes, all by myself. She goes, Phaedra, as per the rules, tonight you'll be afforded the opportunity to recruit a faithful to join yours. Who would it be? Because I would like that. You will meet face to face tonight in the castle dungeon. You must select one faithful and offer them an ultimatum. You will ask them a very simple question. Join you or die?
I'm going to ask Kate, because we have the same sort of kindred spirit. She says things I can't, but she also understands the game. We'll be a murdering duo.
Wow. They really amped Phaedra up for this line.
So Kate, murdering duo. It's like, lean into that twitchy eye, Phaedra, down.
So Kate gets the letter telling her to go to the dungeon. She's like, dungeon, this is not good, but it's, I guess, better than being stuck in a room with Rachel Riley. So she heads to the dungeon and she's like, oh my God. Oh God, I hate this place. Look at this shithole.
Oh God. I escaped one toxic ginger only to be led to another. Hi, Fergus. Hi. I really don't understand what I did wrong. Okay, could you bring me some champagne, Fergus?
And he just locks her in the dungeon. She's like, Fergus. I like how Kate screams for help.
Fergus.
What the fuck is going on? Fergus.
Fergus. Fergus.
Okay, fine. So that was it.
We now to the ending.
Yeah, the question is whether or not, I mean, obviously Kate's going to do it. Kate will become a traitor. And then Kate and Phaedra together is kind of a dream team. Like, this is amazing. This is, do you think this was the right pick by Phaedra?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a good pick because for whatever reason, I would suspect Kate right from the beginning because she's Kate. And she's also like, clearly I hate all of you. You know, mm-hmm. She has that vibe. She doesn't try to hate it. And she stuck up for Phaedra, who does kind of look suspicious at this point, I think. Mm-hmm. Especially after, I think whenever somebody comes for you, you look suspicious naturally. Right. I think that they might come for Kate, but they've come for everybody. They're going to come for everybody at some point. And I think Kate will be good at dropping. We haven't really seen a ton of manipulation yet, where people are manipulating the other players to go after people. And I think Kate will be good at that.
Yeah, I think Kate is a great choice. She does know the game. I mean, you can make arguments for other things. I mean, this would be a chance to actually put Peter against the wall, where it's like, okay, this time you have to become a traitor, otherwise you're out of the game. And he probably would fold then. But I guess I wonder if the shield... Well,
it's no good now.
What?
It's no good now. Because he's now everyone thinks it was a good idea when he was a faithful, but it would be a waste now because they're about to vote him out anyway.
Yeah, they might as well use that suspicion. But yeah, I think Kate is the right choice, and it's definitely my favorite choice because I'm so excited to see the two of them hatch plans, and I really hope that they have like some time to hatch plans. I hope we have a few episodes of the faithful doing the wrong thing so we can just really live in like a Phaedra Kate space for a bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought Trishelle would be a good choice, but I think she wouldn't do it. I think she's one of those.
She's like, I'm a good person. So
true, but she also she's really afraid of being murdered. So I don't think she would want to be murdered.
She would take it just to not be murdered.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Well, everybody, good times. This was super fun. And we will be back a little bit late. This week, our bonus episode is the season finale of Southern Hospitality, which just ended last week. So we'll get to that at some point this week. Also, we have Crappy Hour later tonight, every other Monday at 5:30 Pacific. Go get your tickets for our Netflix Is a Joke Comedy Festival in May and also our European tour in May. Go get all that at watchwhatcrappens.com. And if you want to watch the Golden Crappies, it's available for 2 weeks. The ticket links are over at watchwhatcrappens.com. We love you guys.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.